Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, believers? We are talking Season 3, Episode 9 of Lucha Underground, Loser Leaves Lucha, because tonight we're chucking the deuces to someone, so stick around and see who it is.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, it's so fitting. It's so fitting. You know what? Let's just enjoy.
So was a monkey.
Let's enjoy back for a while.
We don't have time to enjoy back.
Scientologist or not, we can always enjoy some good back.
Is he really in Scientology?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But by lineage, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to speak out of turn. But of course, I know, Beck is one of Rachel's favorite artists, so yeah. of course we had to play it in her absence. I swear we're going to have the whole squad back together.
It's going to be like R.I.P. Rachel.
In full force. Rachel, we may see it. Never going to forget you.
I wore my old Vans for you tonight.
I see what you did there. We're going to have the whole squad back together in full formation next week. But for now, I am so happy to be back.
Hello. Welcome Jimbo. Back.
It's so good to see you.
So awkward without you last week.
It's so good to see you and hear you as
I
well.
I love you, Ty.
If any of y'all happens to be at Lucha Vavoom last week, you may have seen a familiar face playing El Presidente's Secret Service.
How was that?
Oh, it was incredible.
You saw some undergrounders there.
There were some undergrounders. There were some undergrounders that also happened to watch this show.
Amazing.
Actually, which I was pretty excited about. I got to dust off the old spear/gore.
Oh.
Yep.
Reaper's Trident.
Yeah, exactly. The very own. El Presidente's Secret Service turned on him because they were paid off by the evil Monsanto.
Oh, wow.
Lucha Vavoom, guys. It's an amazing show. It only comes around about 4 times a year. So I think the next time around will probably be around Valentine's Day.
Yeah, Valentine's, then Cinco de Mayo.
Valentine's, Cinco de Mayo, summer, and then Halloween. So get out to the Mayan if you haven't seen it before.
I think I've been to all except for the summer one.
They're pretty incredible. I have to say
Halloween and Cinco de Mayo are probably my favorite.
The Halloween shows are pretty incredible. But like I said, so happy to be back talking about Lucha Underground. We've got a whole lot to cover. I, as always, am Ty Matthews. You can find me online at Ty Matthews PMA, as well as various other after shows. But to my left, the incomparable, the wonderfully talented, he's a documentarian, he's a historian, he's a wrestling fan, he's a cameraman, he's a producer, extraordinaire, so many different things, jack of all trades.
So many names.
So many. Guys, this is Jimbo / James Frank.
Hello. It's Jimbo in the booth.
I never know what to call you. I still
call
always
me,
say
call
Jimbo
Call me whatever
size.
You want.
I still say
I feel
Jimbo
it.
Size.
I'm feeling
Just
it.
Don't call him late for dinner.
The laugh was the best part.
Incredible. He'll always be Jimbo Slice to me.
For sure.
In my heart.
I love it.
But he's Jimbo in the booth online, so go check him out. Rachel Evans is out of, not out of town. But
never heard someone so mad about having her mom come to town. She's like, damn it, I got to go pick up my mom at LAX. I'm not going to be there for the show. And then we were like, hey, you want to go to Lucha in San Diego on Saturday? She's like, damn it, my mom's
ruining my life.
Yeah, my mom.
But she loves, for the record, Rachel loves her mom, and she loves Lucha. She loves all those things. But timing, of course, being what it is. But we're going to tag team it. We got Mark in the booth.
Hi.
We got a whole lot to cover. I'm pretty excited about it. Let's get into it. Episode 9, Lucha Leaves Lucha. Let's talk Dario's Dial of Doom.
Let's talk about how Dario just cuts off Matt Striker. You talk too much.
You talk
Stop.
Too much. Shut up. The defeated look on Matt Striker's face was one of my favorites.
I loved how Vampiro was like, damn, I never seen anyone shut you up that quick.
It's Dario, of course. You gotta listen to El Jefe.
I love when he spins the wheel and it's him and he's like, I'm the big winner. All I can think of was in Swingers when he's like, who's the big winner here? Who's the big winner here? Dario's the big winner, everybody.
Dario's the big winner because Dario's Dial of Doom lands on Dario's choice. Oh. And so he turns it over to the believers. Who do you want to see? Do you want to see Prince Puma? Do you want to see Pentagon Dark? Do I have any volunteers?
And then he's clowning them. Who do you want to see? This guy who already lost to my brother? Yeah. This guy who my brother broke his arm? This guy?
Exactly.
One of you guys? No, you're all chumps.
But of course, Dario knows how to hold a grudge. So we know who he's going to pick.
He's going to make an example out of
someone. He's going to make an example out of someone. He says that this person is someone that, you know, they've been injured, but they still show up to work every day just hoping to be better. So getting the Lucha Underground title shot tonight is poor Cortez Castro.
Oh, man.
Arm in a cast and everything.
I thought it was so funny how he's, like, coming to the ring, his arms in his cast. He's got a kendo stick, and Vamp's like, yeah, you know, at least he has that kendo stick. That might help. And then he gets, like, to the ring, and he throws the kendo stick on the ground. He's like, wait a minute. Well, why would you do that?
Yeah, come on, man. You got one good arm. Like, at least have a weapon in that hand. But this match was... This is one of those things where the things that we saw during this match, we wouldn't really see anywhere else because it almost got graphic. Like, it got disturbing. It was one of the more disturbing things that I've seen without blood in a while, just because Matanza, being a monster, of course, relentlessly going after the arm, literally, like, re-snapping it, snapping the cast off.
Oh.
But then Cortez, not to be outdone, starts using the cast as a weapon and beating the dude in the face with it.
Yeah, it'd be like a scene in a movie where, like, someone breaks something and their bone pops out and they're like, oh, and then they pull their broken bone out and just start stabbing someone with it.
Exactly.
It's like, I will murder you.
Right. So, yeah, it was a pretty – it was an interesting match, definitely, for something that was clearly, obviously, meant to just punish – Cortez Castro.
For sure.
He gets caught with the Wrath of the Gods. And then
this was such a gnarly one, too. I don't know if I've ever seen Matanza leave his feet when he does it.
Right.
And, like, it seemed like he, like, jumped and turned with it tonight.
Exactly, yeah. When he's got smaller guys to do it to, you forget just how strong he is. Like,
he's a monster.
Yeah, he can do beautiful shooting stars and moonsaults and what have you, but he can also just toss people around. Yeah.
He's a man beast.
But afterwards, the promo that Dario cuts, he says, what does he say? He says,
have a little rest under the covers.
Under covers? Like, shit like that.
Come back.
Is why I love Dario.
Or rats.
Just straight up calls him a rat. Exactly. It was just like that. Perfect. Dario is kind of the Shang Tsung to maybe Matanza Shao Kahn. Have we talked about that before?
No.
Maybe.
That
might be it. Maybe. I don't know. Interesting.
Which Shang Tsung? Are we talking about, like, Mortal Kombat 2 Shang Tsung?
Yeah, exactly. With the, like, the shiny black hair.
Yeah.
The goatee.
And, like, the weird...
Exactly. Because he got weird in Mortal Kombat 3.
Yeah.
Like, the look, I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
But it was weird.
It's the souls.
It's the souls is what it is.
Your soul is mine.
Did you ever watch Battle Dome?
Of course
I've been watching a lot of Battle Dome.
Where do you find Battle Dome?
Just like my old VHS tapes that I recorded after SmackDown.
That was probably one of the biggest letdowns in WCW when they didn't fight the Battle Dome guys after they were all in the front row.
I was like,
this is going to be so awesome.
Guys, we're just going to talk about Battle Dome for the rest of the show.
Oh, man.
Kuda?
They were so...
Kuda was my favorite.
I think T-Money, who became Tony Cruz.
Terry Crews. Yeah. I forgot Terry Crews was on Battle Dome. Anyway,
and Odell.
Join us next week for the Battle Dome after show. We'll be talking all about it. The Dom triplets, of course.
Oh, my God.
But so post-match, after this match, we've got Son of Havoc, Masquerita Sagrada in Dario Cueto's office. And we mentioned both last week and this week, Dario is like...
He's hitting those snippers hard.
He's feeling himself more than usual. Like, he is having a good time. Real good.
Well, you gotta think, he's out of jail. He just got, like, a crap ton of money back from Johnny Mundo.
Oh, sure. Oh, that's, like, a good point.
He's living on cloud nine right now.
That's a good point. He just became, like, almost $100,000 richer. Yeah. I mean, like, it was his money, but, like...
Not for those internet photos.
Exactly. It was those photos. But he's really kind of on one. He's feeling himself. But Son of Havoc and Masquerita want to put this feud with Famous B to bed. Masquerita Sagrada wants a match with Famous B. So Dario, of course, as he always does, has an idea. He makes a match for next week between Famous B and Masquerita Sagrada. But first, tonight, we will have a match between Dr. Wagner Jr. and Son of Havoc, with the winner determining who gets to pick the stipulation for next week's match between B and Masquerita.
And if you lose, he picks the stip.
Dick picks the stip. Just what a weird thing to say.
On his behalf? That was a good joke.
Dario making, like, dad jokes is kind of my favorite thing.
Holy understatements, Batman.
You're damn right, Burt Ward.
Yeah. Oh, man. And then we get Puma.
Yes, of course. We've got Prince Puma. He says, you know what? I beat Mil Muertes, but it wasn't enough. I have to put him in a coffin.
Holy, here we go again, Batman.
Yes.
Right? Right? Of course, here we go again, because Mil Muertes put Conan, he put K-Dog himself in a coffin, and they're basically, they keep kind of dancing around the fact that it killed him, but that's basically what they're implying.
I just picture it like his funeral, like the casket's there, and then they put his shoe.
Right, exactly. It's like,
and it starts lowering, his shoe elokes, and like his hat that he used to wear.
Right. Oh, the weird, like, yeah, yes. Exactly.
Amazing.
Because he didn't
they
even
play
get
his one rap song that he had in WWE. Oh my god. Like, oh man,
I forgot about
that. He
had
that one in TNA too.
Oh,
did he?
Yeah, with the Three Live Crew.
Oh boy. Man. Ooh,
deep cuts.
Those are the deepest. But we didn't, at least other guys that have left the temple, we've gotten like missing posters, we've gotten little Easter eggs about their whereabouts. This guy's straight up dead. Yeah. Like, he's just one step below like Bale dead. Like, he didn't get his face eaten. He didn't get his head eaten, but boy, he ain't around no more. So Prince Puma still wants revenge for his mentor. He wants to put Mil Muertes in a coffin, so he challenges him to grave consequences.
Which automatically exactly. Katrina's like, we definitely accept.
Yeah, it's like, okay, that didn't take long. Guys, this match is happening next week. So we not only have Famous B versus Masquerita Sagrada, which we'll get to the complications later on in the show, but we also have the return of Grave Consequences.
Crazy.
And only a week after that is Aztec Warfare.
So this will be Gravest Consequences?
That's exactly right. If the semantics keep evolving, then this is Gravest. But after that, can they have any more?
Graviest?
I like Graviest.
The Thanksgiving special.
Eli Drake would have to be in it.
Groovy.
Groovy. Gravy. So we've got a whole lot coming up. We've got Grave Consequences. But Mil Muertes, like the G that he is, shows up in a suit.
In a suit. That was the best.
A purple tie.
Straight old school luchador. Dude, like, I just had my mask on.
The suit and the mask is no look.
Classic.
No look can touch that, really.
Oh, man. So
it reminds me of Ramses.
Oh, yeah.
Ramses is a real dude.
Someone made a classic shirt. I don't know who it was, but it had like all these like Japanese wrestlers and luchadors, and it's like the cover of Reservoir Dogs, but it's like all of them.
Oh, man.
So, like, they're walking in suits, but they all have their wrestling masks.
That's incredible.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, that's so dope.
The suit and the mask. Man, I really, I missed out on that for Halloween this year. That needs to be my Halloween costume in perpetuity.
Oh, yeah, because I was telling somebody how you went as someone from The Purge.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You had, like, this awesome costume.
I was a Purge. Yeah, I just had a straight up suit because I like wearing suits. And I grabbed a Purge mask and like a weapon,
a
like
gnarly weapon. You had to put a weapon. Bag over so no
exactly.
one was harassing
exactly.
you.
It was like a barbed wire bat, but with a saw blade stuck into it.
Yeah,
something, you know.
It's like a grandpa weapon.
Yeah, exactly. It's something I figured you'd see on Purge night.
Yeah. Special delivery.
I think my favorite thing was like your sticker that instead of saying I voted, it said I purged.
I purged. I've been holding on to that for months awesome. Now. I knew I'd get use out of it eventually.
Nailed it.
It was good stuff. I'm pretty excited. I won. I actually at my work I won the scariest costume for that.
Amazing.
For that costume.
So good.
It was pretty creepy. It was fun stuff though.
Holy non sequiturs.
I like that a lot. Have I mentioned that the Soundbart is like our unofficial fourth co-host of the show and it's my favorite?
Yes.
What about me, asshole?
Okay, fifth.
Somebody has to push the buttons.
I was thinking third because it's only the two of us.
I push it.
I push push the buttons. That being said.
Dr. Wagner.
We're not done with Mil Muertes in a goddamn suit. Because he comes out. He goes for that flatliner. Doesn't end up working. Prince Puma drop kicks him right out of the ring. Goes for a dive. Hits one of the most beautiful moonsaults you've ever seen, straight into the goddamn superhero pose. What?
Amazing.
Like
they should have had the jib camera catch that and then cut back for when he landed and then like looked up. Like, that would have just been like movie shit.
See, that is what perfectly illustrates the things that I like about Lucha Underground and the wide variety is because last week, my favorite thing, not only on that episode, but possibly in the last maybe 5 years of wrestling, is that we've got a best of five series to see who becomes a host body for goddamn God.
Yes.
For one, let's talk about that because I didn't get a chance to be here last week and I'm glad that I wasn't because my head would have exploded talking about that. Like,
that's insane.
Hang on. What? Guys, what? There you go. That's exactly that. See, that was my thought process. So, but it goes from that to just a simple thing like a moonsault into a pose got me just as excited in a completely like just completely different elements of the show.
So good.
Amazing.
Such a good show.
But let's talk Dr. Wagner. Let's talk the beautiful Brenda, who was gold as always.
Oh my God. Not only was her outfit amazing and she has this giant freaking syringe that she's carrying around, but like all the random shit she was saying at the ring that I don't know if the mics were supposed to pick up or not.
I swear to God, it started with us having her in studio here, but every single week she becomes like closer and closer to the top of the list of my absolute favorite performers in wrestling.
She's so funny.
It's such a weird performance art sort of element to it. Like there's wheels turning, and it makes me so happy.
I loved how she was like, shave his beard.
Shave his beard.
Shave his beard.
She calls Masquerita Sagrada a son of a bitching baby.
Oh, man.
Like,
she keeps
calling him a baby every week, and it just makes me laugh.
He's a triple flipper.
Exactly. But we've got a really, really solid match between Dr. Wagner and Son of Havoc. Just a lot of really good stuff. A lot of good chops as well.
There are gnarly chops, and at one point Wagner like takes his straps down and is like, alright, bring it, dude.
It's the classic luchador move.
I loved how like on the outside there was a point where like B just like running boots.
Oh, Masquerita
just knocks him out.
Yeah.
Damn, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's the type of fight it's gonna be.
Oh, of course. Of course.
That was great, and Dr. Wagner hit a dope like flying clothesline. Which is something like you rarely see.
Right.
But it like looks so good.
That is like that's kind of like a relic of the 90s that was really popular
like,
then.
When Undertaker would do it?
Right. Oh, yeah, man. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's probably why people don't do it anymore, is because nobody can get that kind of height. We get an awesome Avalanche Ace Crusher. Also.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
So good.
But eventually, Son of Havoc, straight up, clean, hits the Shooting Star Press.
There was a point where Vamp's giving like the history about like how Masquerita and Dr. Wagner are like the only two luchadors that still wear like full lucha masks.
I loved that conversation.
Like such a, like, cause you really think about it like, oh wow, that's true. Cause like even Rey has like really like changed the way his mask was from the way it was at WCW.
Right.
And like Striker's like, that's cause they can't breathe then. Right. And he's like, yeah. So he's like, so would you say people with full masks have way better cardio then? Because it's so harder to breathe. He's like, of course. You know?
Cause it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Because old school lucha libre or old school wrestling of any kind was obviously of a lot slower pace, so you really didn't have to have that sort of conditioning or that sort of cardio, so it didn't really affect you to have a full face mask, especially if you look at someone like, say, like Tinieblas, who has just like just a straight up just triangle screen on his mask and that's it. Stuff like that.
Oh, those things suck. There's like no peripheral vision and it's so hard to see through the
mask. If we could just talk mask design for like, I'd be so down.
I loved how when Son of Havoc was on the rope and Dr. Wagner grabs his beard, Vamp's like, it'd be awesome if he just like flipped him over and then he had like a beard in his hand and then he just had a Fu Manchu. Like, that would have been hilarious. And I was thinking like, of all places, like Lucha could pull that spot off.
Sure.
Like, okay, this is what's going to happen.
it would be the most slapstick.
That would be amazing.
Of the spots they've done. But eventually, Son of Havoc hits that clean Shooting Star Press for the win. Straight up clean win.
Yeah.
Possibly, is that the first time we've seen Dr. Wagner lose clean in the temple?
Or lose at all,
right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Not that it's been like a huge streak, but still, it's worth mentioning. So, Son of Havoc grabs the microphone, confers with Masquerita Sagrada, and we find out that next week, the match between Famous B and Masquerita Sagrada will be a Believer's Backlash match. But not only that, the fans can bring any weapons they want, and they're all legal.
This is insane to me. I've been to, have you been to shows where fans get to bring their weapons?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. It's always, like, the wrestlers that bring the craziest shit.
Right.
Because they're like, I want to see what happens with this.
Exactly. Like, well, I remember seeing old, like fan cam footage of ECW and stuff like that. Fans bring the weapons. It's a stipulation, or a stip, as Dario Cueto might say, that we haven't really seen in a very, very long time.
It's funny, because I went to one once, and I made, like, a classic wiffle ball bat, but I wrapped it with light tubes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and everybody was like, I have fucking taken it. No way. And then my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, she brought a jar of marbles.
Oh, God.
Like, this will be awesome, because then they could, like, slip on the marbles.
And she was thinking comedy spots. Like, Sticky Bandits.
We're the Sticky Bandits.
Exactly.
Shut up, Marv.
Man, I got...
Wet Bandits.
I was in... About 10 years ago, I was in a Culver City street fight, and I... you know Biggie Biggs.
Yes.
Of course.
Love that guy.
Biggie Biggs broke a computer keyboard over my head. I've still got a scar from it.
Really? Yeah. Did he do it the right way so all the keys popped out?
Oh, the keys flew everywhere.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Flew everywhere. But it was one of those things. We had a trash can full of weapons before the match. It was a tag team match. The four of us looked in the can.
A tag
team match. We saw the weapons.
Nope.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Wrong show. We saw the computer keyboard in the trash can. All four of us were like, no, none of us want to take that. None of us do. We never got around to taking it out of the can. So Biggie grabs the trash can, throws it in the ring. Keyboard flies out. Everyone wants to see the keyboard. I am looking up from the ground. He looks at me like, I'm so sorry. Breaks it over my head. Instant blood. One of the only times I've been busted hard way in a match.
Really?
Yeah, but keys everywhere.
I would say I'd rather that than the VCR.
Oh, that's true.
I've seen New Jack hit some people with a VCR, and
they're so heavy.
Yeah.
I was in a match in Australia where someone got hit with a DVD player.
Wow.
It just cracked over his head.
Is it like the portable one at least? No.
It was a straight up heavy. It might have been gutted, but still, that metal was hard.
Spooky.
It'd be hilarious. Spooky. They're like watching the DVD and they close it and then hit you with it.
The portable one. I feel like that would hurt worse.
Oh, man.
Good stuff. But that being said, we've got a Believer's Backlash next week in addition to Grave Consequences. The kids love it. The kids are going crazy. But of course, we've got to talk about Paul London. We've got to talk about the White Rabbit Tribe.
Yes.
I'm very, very excited for this.
Because we saw two more members for sure.
Exactly. And actually, if you're following Lucha Underground on Instagram, that tribe will be in attendance at their San Diego show this coming weekend, and we've got names for the other two.
I have them right here if you want me to read them out.
Oh, do you?
The Rabbit Tribe consists of Paul London, Mala Suerte, and Saltador.
There you go. What are the
Spanish?
Mala Suerte is bad luck.
Okay.
Saltador, I'm not in.
Oh, look at
that. Googs it.
Bad luck.
Saltador is
the hell of a name.
Saltador is the checkerboard morph suit.
Okay.
Gentleman, and then Mala Suerte is the mohawked, almost super Kalo esque, with like glasses.
Not quite Kalo.
Right.
Trade the hat for a mohawk.
Exactly. Yeah. And then of course Paul London as Paul London, just wearing a huge codpiece now.
Saltador is Jumper.
Jumper.
Oh, okay.
I wish you.
Oh, there you go.
So Jumper is the one in like the checkerboard.
The
gear,
checkerboard morph suit. Yeah.
And Bad Luck is the one with the mohawk.
The one with the mohawk, exactly.
I like it.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be fun times for everyone.
It'll be great if like they're always about to win and then Bad Luck screws it up.
Just like slips on a banana peel or something.
Yeah, he's the classic.
It's
like,
always
buffoon.
Like, do you remember?
Oh, shucks.
Do you remember like the SmackDown game where they would always program in that move where you would go for old school and then just like get crotched?
No.
Do you not remember that?
Oh, I don't.
And so if you want to create a wrestler in probably still to like 2K17, but like the kind of the earlier SmackDown games, they would have a move that you could give your guy where he would go for old school and then just crotch himself.
That's awesome.
And that was it. Like, it didn't really do any offensive damage. It just looked silly.
That's so... I would laugh when you could pick, like, oh, your finish could be a kip-up.
And it's like, right.
what? Why is that even allowed?
I was like doing like the straight up like Eric Bischoff kung fu punch.
Oh yeah,
and then just punching people off the top of the helmet. So
that's good.
Just silly, silly shit like you would see in Endorphin Wrestling if, yes. if you were tuning in a few weeks ago.
Oh, so great! I love that stuff.
But let's talk our main event: Chavo Guerrero Jr. versus Rey Mysterio in a loser leaves Lucha match. What do you think of this match?
I thought it was good. They fucking got me. They totally got me.
So
I was so bitter, pissed, and ready to just, like, as Mark would say in his video game show, like, controller toss moments. I was just like, what?
Man.
That's how it ends?
In retrospect, I realized, like, how dumb and how telegraphed it was. It 100% got me, too.
Totally got me.
100% on board. Because it was such a smart, like Eddie Guerrero-esque way to end the match. So we've got Chavo Classic at ringside watching the match. Eventually, Rey Mysterio runs Chavo Jr. into his father.
Yes.
Later on, Chavo Sr. slides into the ring with a chair. Looks like he's about to blast Rey. Turns around, hits Chavo Jr. Everyone's confused for a second until we realize it's a DQ. We have a winner. Chavo wins. That means Rey Mysterio is, in theory, banned from the temple. It was such a smart move to me. It completely got me. But of course, that's what Dario was thinking. Dario straight up Kool-Aids out of his office.
He was all like, disappointed!
He was livid. He was furious. He starts berating Marty Elias.
Marty.
How could you call for a disqualification in my main event?
How dare you?
We know how much Dario loves violence.
You know how much I love violence.
Exactly. So, of course, this match is going to be restarted with anything goes rules.
Yes.
We see a 619. Chavo Jr. moves out of the way. Rey blasts Chavo Sr. A gorgeous, gorgeous transition from a seated senton into the half grab. Man,
I thought that was going to be the finish.
Though, yeah.
Because I was like, holy shit.
No, did you think, because I thought for a second, did you think that Rey still might have lost even after the restart?
See, because when he put him in that, I thought, okay.
Right.
Because I thought that was like the... like a bait and switch of like, aha,
right.
You thought he won with the DQ, but he didn't. You're glad I restarted the match, but he still loses.
Exactly, because like we've talked about before, Lucha Underground is all about subverting tropes and really kind of, you know, swerving everyone, for lack of a better term. So it makes sense that even after a restart, the heel might still get the Duke, you know?
Yeah. The Lucha Legends chance as the match started was great, too.
Yeah, definitely.
That was awesome.
Definitely. But really, really good stuff. Eventually, of course, we see the 619 into the springboard splash for the win, and Chavo Guerrero must leave the temple forever.
Chavo hit like a Rey went for a Hurricane Rana and Chavo hit an overbomb.
Oh man,
that was really cool.
Did.
And then like later on, Chavo goes for it again and Rey countered it.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, like there were several moments in the match where it was like they knew each other so well. There was like they opened with like, is it still considered chain wrestling when it's like all that awesome Lucha stuff?
Yeah.
Because I just wrote like Lucha chain because that's what I would consider it.
Right.
But, like
Lucha wrestling.
There you go.
Like from like the back and forth. To the monkey flip, to like up on the shoulders with his knees, to a sunset flip.
Right.
Like just such amazing like Lucha stuff.
Exactly.
That, like, you never really see anymore.
Yeah. Just classic, like, just good old Lucha high spots.
Yeah.
It was a good Lucha thing is what it was.
Amazing. Lost art.
Yes.
Really good. And I loved Rey's gear and he was looking jacked.
Yeah, right?
He was looking so, like, it's funny, like the pictures that they were showing that they made black and white of like, oh, this might be the last time that either of these men leave the temple. Like, that was, like, Rey's first, like, time in the temple. And, like, I don't know if it's because they made it black and white, but he looked way different than when he came out
tonight. Yeah, definitely.
I was like, oh, he looks like a little kid. Like, it's when you watch, like, old WCW stuff, and you're like, oh, man, he was tiny.
Exactly, yeah. You watch it, like, Halloween Havoc, him and Eddie. Yeah. Good look, in his phantom gear. His weirdly, like, ominous music.
Yeah.
Him and Dean Malenko, their musics were very, very similar, and both... Very weird. Like
spooky.
Weirdly epic. They were spooky. But that's our show. We don't get a mid or a post credit scene, sadly. But do we have time for predictions?
I don't know, do we?
Maybe.
I loved how
we have time for prediction.
And now your AfterBuzz TV. Prediction.
And it's the real prediction.
That's for you, Taiwan.
Theremin and everything.
In this match, Stryker said, "The temple is where we write our own destiny."
I like that.
That was really good.
That's exactly right. It's,
I thought that was
it like conveys the right amount really of gravitas for the temple. Let's talk about Joey Ryan, because I forgot we didn't get a chance to talk about Joey Ryan's backstage or his in office segment with Dario Cueto. How they're both just laughing at Cortez Castro.
Was that tonight?
Yeah. Joey's just like being an asshole as he does. Holding his arm. Oh, my arm. They're both just laughing about it. So what's the over-under? How long do we think it is before Dario finds Joey out?
Well, Joey admitted he's a cop.
I don't think he did.
Yeah, he did. He walked in and he's like, I'm going to tell you straight up. There's a rat in here.
No,
because I'm a cop.
He told
and
him,
I'm going to tell you.
He told him Cortez is a cop.
He didn't say
Mark, did he say that he was a cop?
I'm pretty sure he said he's a cop and like that dude's a rat.
Joey Ryan?
Yeah.
He didn't say, I don't think he's ever said that he's a cop, but he said that Cortez was.
He didn't rat himself out.
No.
He just put the other guy.
He just threw Cortez under the bus.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Exactly.
Bus chucking Joey Ryan.
So I'm wondering, like the horror movie fan in me is wondering if Dario finds out Joey and he suffers like the bail fate. I don't know if they would do that to Joey. I don't know if they would. But
they might choppa his PP.
Just Yamaguchi-san. I want to see Yamaguchi-san in the temple.
Dick to go.
Dick to go. Kaien's eyes the
what
best.
A pull.
Oh, man.
Is he going to choppy someone's pee-pee?
Yes.
Was that Mario?
No, I'd be too loud on this microphone.
It slipped a little bit into Mario.
I'll turn myself down. Is he going to choppy your pee-pee?
Mamma mia.
Mamma pee-pee.
Tope con hilo.
Tope con pee-pee.
Oh, goodness gracious. So I'm thinking maybe, it might be near the end of the season.
Actually, really quickly, a lot of folks in chat are saying that he was a cop.
Yeah, Joey.
Joey Ryan said that he was a cop.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was like, hey, dude, I'm a cop.
He said that he
but
was
I'm
a
not
cop.
Gonna
and
bust you.
He said he was a cop and wanted a bribe.
Yeah.
Okay.
He wanted a dirty bribe.
Well,
I just picture something like in Rocky Horror Picture Show where it's like Brad, Janet, Dr. Scott, and rocking it. But it's like Dario, Joey, the renegade. I can't remember his name. But
oh, Lorenzo Lamas?
Yeah, they're all
I keep
like,
thinking you're me and the WCW wrestler.
Who are you? No, who are you? You're a cop? No, you're a cop. No, you're
Dario.
A cop. No, you're a cop.
Joey, Cortez, Dario. Yeah.
You're a cop. Bale? He's all just no head. He's just standing there.
I do want to see a headless Bale at some point. Can we just get like a Halloween episode where it's just like it's non-canon and it's all zombified?
On Lucha Underground, every day is Halloween.
It's true. But I think the non-canon thing is my thing. Like I want like a Treehouse of Horror episode of Lucha where just like anyone can die, anyone can come back to life, we can fantasy book it all we want.
And then it's all just a dream?
Yeah, exactly.
And then Dario shakes
it's
the
all,
snow globe.
Like a snow globe. Right. It's the fucking Saint Elsewhere episode. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Well, guys, that is season 3, episode 9, Loser Leaves Lucha. A whole lot to talk about.
Oh, man.
I loved this episode. Loved last week's episode.
It was crazy.
A host body for a god will be determined at the end of this Tejano
Cage
series.
In all honesty, though, like, who's a better host body than Brian Cage?
I mean, really, if you're comparing the two.
He's a freaking machine.
Tejano, no tea, no shade, but.
Yeah.
The host body, come on.
I mean, the only better thing is like you're bilingual, so like that might be a plus.
You can talk to Spanish speaking gods.
Yeah, exactly.
But guys, we'll be right back here with the squad in full force next week. Myself, Jimbo, Mark, Rachel, the
Same
soundboard,
veins.
all of your favorite. We need to name our soundboard BT Dubs. We need to name that and personify it and make it a person.
We'll figure it out.
By the way, we'll get to that. But for now, Jimbo, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Jimbo in the Booth. Buy my documentary, The Young Bucks 2 Sweet Journey, at highspots.com. Check out the X-Pac 12360 podcast. We had Lanny Poffo on this week, and it was an amazing interview. So much good stuff. Yes, exactly.
This kind of looks like Mortal Kombat 3 Shang Tsung.
Yeah.
Like this guy.
Except for the... receding hairline.
He just needs like the weird like straps and the gross like yellowish pants. I don't know. Guys, you can find me online at TyMatthewsPMA. That's Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all sorts of social media. PlayStation Network, come play Mortal Kombat with me. You can find me on Mondays at around 8:15 p.m. Pacific time on the Monday Night Raw after show alongside John LaQuasto, Marquia McCarty, or you can catch me on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Saturdays, 4 p.m., KDOC, U2 America, Patreon, Fight TV, Tough TV, check those local listings, or, of course, if you're in Southern California, every second and fourth Sunday of the month at the Ocean View Pavilion in Port Hueneme. It's completely free. It's on the beach. It's free wrestling. Come check it out. You won't be sad. We'll be right back here same time next week talking Season 3, Episode 10 of Lucha Underground. But until then, Viva la Lucha!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.